Coffee by Sam Coombs, ending this week's Jazz Record Requests.
Verdi 200. Radio 3's bicentenary celebration of Verdi's life and works continues with one of his masterpieces, a performance of Il Trovatore from Munich, with Jonas Kaufmann making his debut in the role of Manrico and Anya Hartaros as Leonora. One of Verdi's most successful operas during his lifetime and one of the most popular operas in the repertoire, Il Trovatore on BBC Radio 3. Tonight at 7:30.
Well, now it's just gone 6 o'clock and here's Julian Joseph with Jazz Lineup.
Hello and welcome along. On today's programme, an interview with clarinetist Arun Ghosh and a profile of his brand new album, A South Asian Suite, featuring tantalising sounds like this. The exotic sounds of Arun Ghosh, and stay tuned for an interview plus more music from Arun coming up later on the show. Also on today's programme, highlights of a very special performance by BBC Radio 3's new generation jazz artist, saxophonist Trish Clues. Trish Clues, and more from that set later on the programme. First up, saxophonist David Murray has built a musical world of his own with a personal take on the tapestry of the jazz tradition and strong leaning towards the innovations of the avant-garde. He visits the UK for his first national tour in many years with his Infinity Quartet, featured on his latest album. The album also features two guest vocalists, one of whom is the ubiquitous Gregory Porter, who you may have caught recently on the Jules Holland TV show. This is David Murray with Gregory Porter on the suitably groovy Army of the Faithful.
Miriam, we have the ram's horns that is heard by God. Our rolling drum calls an army of the faithful. We make joyful noise unto the Thank you. joyful noise unto the Lord. We clap our hands, we stomp our feet, we make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We clap our hands, we stomp our feet, we make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We pray to the outcast, we pray to the rich man's fathers, we pray to the workers to lift their toil. Our flutes and oboes can heal the souls that's been torn. Our charging saxophones can reach the unborn. We don't have regalia, a thunder voice, Mahalia. We don't have the eloquence of John or Paul. We do our mission among the ones who listen. We make joyful noise unto the Lord.
Army of the Faithful from saxophonist David Murray's Infinity Quartet, featuring the voice of Gregory Porter, with a strong influence of gospel music in the lyric and the approach. And David Murray and the Infinity Quartet are on the road, with dates included at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club in London on the 14th and 15th of October. They're at St George's in Bristol on the 16th of October, and Turner Sims Concert Hall in Southampton on the 17th of October. Also worth noting is Gregory Porter plays the Royal Albert Hall in London on the 30th of October. From the saxophone and voice to the trumpet, and a man who may be familiar to some of you as the head of the jazz program at the Royal Academy of Music in London, it's Nick Smart and his band Trogon, and we get an early preview of this album way before its release on the Babel label in November. This is the title track, Tower Casa. Thank you. Trumpeter Nick Smart and Tower Casa, the title track of his forthcoming album on the Babel label. Nick Smart's Trogon is the name of the band, which features Chris Montague on guitar, Keyshawn Khan on piano, Jimmy Martinez on electric bass, Dave Hamlet on drums, and Pete Eckford on percussion. And Tower Casa is released on November the 18th on the Babel label. And November is London Jazz Festival time, and for all you jazz fans, the full lineup for this year has been announced. And just a few on the list are the Jazz Voice Concert, directed by Guy Barker, the great Jamaican pianist Monty Alexander and British saxophone virtuoso Courtney Pine all appear at the Barbican. Vocalist Carlene Anderson and Madeline Peru and electric bass playing stylist Marcus Miller play the Royal Festival Hall. And Jazz Lineup will be at the festival recording our pick of the action for future broadcast. And for more information on this year's festival, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Another pianist on the bill is the super talented Armenian-American pianist Tigran Hamasyan, who plays Queen Elizabeth Hall on the 19th of November. His brand new album, Shadow Theatre, expands on his debut and shows an artist of great musical depth, able to negotiate the most intricate rhythmic concept with true musical engagement, textural and harmonic variety. This is Road Song. the Mind Journey voice and piano of Tigran Hamasyan and Road Song, taken from his new album on Verve called Shadow Theatre. Nate Wood is on drums, and although Tigran is also a vocalist, we heard the voice of Ereni Agbabian, who features throughout the album. There's some excellent violin on that track, played by Jean-Marc Philippe Jvajabadian. Shadow Theatre is out on November the 4th, and it's a rich and exciting listen from a giant new voice in music. Tigran Hamasyan plays the Queen Elizabeth Hall on Tuesday the 19th of November with Swiss-Albanian jazz vocalist Elina Duni playing the first set. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. And coming up next, we continue with the Eastern soundscape with melodies and rhythms expressing the rich cultural influence from the Indian continent through the music of British Asian clarinetist and bandleader Arun Ghosh. His new album is called A South Asian Suite and comments musically with colour and interest. It coaxes, meditates, worships and enlivens. I'll be speaking with Arun Ghosh after this.
Thank you.
clarinetist Arun Ghosh, and Sufi stomp Soul of Sindh from the new album A South Asian Suite. Welcome, Arun. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
So let's deal with that first, A Sufi stomp. Mm-hmm. What are you searching for in terms of the titles of the album that you've got on this album, Arun?
Well, A South Asian Suite is an exploration of my take of music of the subcontinent. So music from across India, Pakistan, Nepal, Bangladesh and Sri Lanka. An expression of the folk music styles, the people, the culture, just what the different countries and places and ethos of the places and musical culture and aesthetics, just what they mean to me. And so that movement you've just heard, Sufi Stomp, Soul of Sindh, that's very much inspired by Qawwali music, a style of music that was generated in Pakistan through Sufi culture. One of the most famous exponents of the genre is Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. Mm-hmm. And I was listening a lot to him as I was growing up and also when I was writing this piece. The style of that music is devotional, but with a high energy to it. And through the use of rhythm and melody and just recurring hypnotic themes and grooves, listeners and performers both find themselves getting into quite a sort of high devotional state. And that was what I was trying to tap into with that piece of music. Also then through the improvised solos to recreate just some of the spirit and the vibe of the music. The groove is there happening very much like a Qawwali vibe. The harmony is more jazz and almost more kind of bluesy in some ways. But the melody is pure Qawwali, I would say.
There is a different timbre to the way instruments are played in the Indian musical culture. Mm. If we take, for example, the violin.
Right.
When you hear the violin played in any, and excuse me for saying Indian music in a broad mm-hmm. term, but that's what I will do, it's a different sound. There's sliding, there's a certain way of pitching that brings a certain kind of personality and soul to the note.
Absolutely.
That is unique to the continent of Indian music.
Absolutely, and I hope that's what I'm aiming for with how I'm playing the clarinet.
Yeah.
I think inspired by Indian musicians such as Bismillah Khan. Bismillah Khan was a Shehnai player, which is a double reeded instrument similar to the oboe and a sound that you hear across the world. Mm. He was actually a big influence on Coltrane, and My Favourite Things was inspired by Bismillah Khan's sound. Also, I think I sometimes think that Coltrane's move towards the soprano was also kind of a similar movement in terms of wanting to tap into that sound. I suppose it comes from aesthetics and musical language and also just language, how we and the primal thing is vocal styles. And I suppose as instrumentalists we're trying to tap into that vocal sound. That's what I like to do with the clarinet in terms of the bending of the notes, the slides, the different microtonal things I'm doing in terms of the tuning, the different notes that I'll hit. But then you find that has parallels with the blues, or it has parallels with Turkish music or North African music. I just think that moving away from the straight classical approach to clarinet playing is something that was always quite important to me.
Well, we're going to come to your past mm-hmm. that's brought you to this point in a moment. After we hear a gentle and reflective piece of music called River Song, tell us a little bit about what we should listen out for mm-hmm. as we listen to River Song.
River Song is the Bangladeshi-inspired movement of the suite. In Bangladesh and in Bengal, we've got lots of rivers, lots of streams, and a big kind of river and watery culture in terms of fishermen, people working along the river. And part of that culture is a vocal and musical culture. There's some beautiful music, a style of music called Bathiali music. And those are songs that are sung by fishermen over the ages. They've got particular kind of, they use particular scales and particular kinds of turns of phrase. And although they may be using the same notes as other folk music styles around the world, you just seem to know that that's Bathiali. You just recognise the style. And that was something that I wanted to capture in this piece of music I wrote, a sort of a love song, really, to Bengal and Bangladesh. I like to feel that the rhythm of it, you can hear the oars going into the water, you can hear the boat being pushed along, and you can hear someone just calling out and singing it in the morning.
Well, from A South Asian Suite by Arun Ghosh, this is River Song.
Thank you.
My special guest, Arun Ghosh, playing clarinet on River Song from his new album, A South Asian Suite. And I featured a piano solo from Zoe Rahman.
That's right. It's been wonderful to have Zoe, to be working with Zoe on this album. I've admired her playing and loved her playing, loved her style and approach to music for years now. And we'd done a few bits and pieces before, and I really knew that she was just right for A South Asian Suite. The piano is quite central to this piece of work. I wrote all of the music on the piano, and so it felt natural to have piano on it. And Zoe's got such a fine style, such a real kind of a beautiful sense of melody and phrasing, wonderful technique, great voicing in terms of how she plays her chords, beautiful textures that she creates from really kind of twinkly, sparkly, high-end stuff to that real powerful left hand that she's got. She's got a real rhythmic drive to how she plays, and melodies and rhythms and everything that she generates makes so much sense and is so clear, and it's so inspiring to be supported by that approach to music making. It just really helps shape and give breath and depth to the music.
Tell me about the clarinet. How did you, Arun Ghosh, get to play in the clarinet, and why has it got this draw and this appeal to you?
I think I was lucky to have found the clarinet because I feel that the clarinet is my instrument. It feels right under my fingers. It feels right in my mouth. It feels that the combination of sounds that I can do with it, the attack, the sweetness, the high-end, high-pitched stuff, the low-pitched stuff, the way it can cut through, the way it can really just be so lilting and gentle. I think through that instrument I'm able to, the anger I'm able to get, the bitterness, all those different kind of emotions, I feel that I know how to do it on the clarinet, and that's what I'm trying to do. I feel, and I feel quite lucky that that is the instrument that I found. In terms of how I got there, like a lot of people, I played the recorder at school and really loved playing the recorder. And through doing that, I realised that I could play by ear, I could make up my own tunes, I could also play songs that people asked me to play that I knew. And so straight away on that simple but powerful instrument, I was able to create music and communicate to people. And I think that's just what I still do. Through that, I tried some other instruments. I tried playing the piano a little bit. I tried playing the violin even. And I enjoyed those, but they weren't quite right. And someone suggested, a piano teacher suggested a clarinet, and he happened to have one under his bed, and brought one round one day for me. And as soon as I played it, it just was right.
Are you from a musical family?
No, not really. I mean, family kind of loves music and have introduced me to music and supported music, but no, not really. But in terms of a range of music, whether it was the Rolling Stones and Bob Dylan or Ravi Shankar, or Mozart, you know, or opera, there was those things kind of just swimming around in terms of music I was hearing. Also, just, you know, it sounds funny to say it, but just television, music on TV in the 80s, you heard a lot of jazz and you heard a lot of instrumental music as part of theme tunes or as part of incidental music on programs, and all of those things I just soaked in. One of the things that really got me playing jazz was Courtney Pine. I remember it was the free Nelson Mandela concert that he was playing at, and he must have just, at that point, probably only just put out his first record. And I was blown away by that. I must have been about 12 years old at the time. And it's so wonderful to actually see, to have seen something like that on live television. This young man who I just really kind of, really just loved what he did.
You remind me of him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I first saw you at the South Bank, I think it was at the South Bank. I thought, he reminds me of Courtney Pine. You have the same energy. You have the same musical energy. The same way of reaching a lot of people. It's just there. Well, we're going to listen now to Journey South. My thanks to you, Arun, for joining us. And best of luck with everything. Let's have a listen now to our last chosen track, and listeners should see if they can decipher the time signature of Journey South.
Thank you.
Arun Ghosh and Journey South from his new album, A South Asian Suite, out now on Kamoki Records. And Arun told me what the time signature was. I had my own way of deciphering it, and it is indeed in 13 1/2 4. I hope you discovered that. And my thanks to Arun for coming in and speaking with me. And Arun is playing on October the 17th at the Barrel House Totnes in Devon. He also plays the Lighthouse in Poole, and he plays Jazz Refreshed at the Mau Mau Bar in Ladbroke Grove on the 31st of October in London. And check out the Jazz lineup page via the Radio 3 website for more information on Arun's concerts and activities. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Still to come on the programme, concert music from BBC Radio 3's new generation jazz artist, saxophonist Trish Clues. But next up, brand new music from John Hall, where the tone of this next piece blur or blend his decidedly classical saxophone sound into something jazz-related. For this album, Hall has a descriptive theme and drew his inspiration from works of art. This is The Interpretation of Dreams, inspired by a painting by Lucian Freud. Thank you. saxophonist John Hall and the Interpretation of Dreams, an evocative piece from the album Art Music, which is out now on the Sospiro Records label. We stay with the saxophone as we go to our concert set, which features highlights from BBC Radio 3's new generation jazz artist Trish Clues, and a stellar lineup which includes Gareth Williams on piano, Ryan Trebelcock on bass, Dave Hamlet on the drums, and Trish on tenor and soprano saxophones. Originally transmitted live to Europe as part of a European Broadcast Union initiative, the night also featured Tom Challenger's Brass Mask project, broadcast last week by Jez Nelson, and is still available on the BBC iPlayer. But to tonight's set, recorded in front of an enthusiastic crowd at the Vortex Jazz Club in London, this is the Trish Clues Quartet with Four Snakes and a Ladder.
Thank you. much. That was Wayne's Waltz for Wayne Shorter. Gareth Williams on piano. Brian Jabilcock on bass. Dave Hamlet on drums. And Trish Cruz, thank you very much for listening.
The Trish Cluse Quartet ending tonight's highlights of a concert set from the Vortex Jazz Club in London. Gareth Williams was on piano, Ryan Trebelcock was on bass, Dave Hamlet was on drums, and Trish was on tenor and soprano saxophones. For all the titles played on tonight's show, check out the playlist via the Radio 3 website. And it's worth checking out the jazz lineup page via the Radio 3 website, as this week we launched the first in a series of short videos featuring tonight's concert artist, Trish Cluse, talking with some of the key musicians who've inspired her. In the first film, Trish talks with pianist Gareth Williams, who featured in tonight's set. Also on the website, look out for our photo galleries, playlists, and of course you can listen to the program again via the BBC iPlayer. Well, that's almost the end of the show, but remember, plenty more jazz with Jazz on 3 on Monday nights at 11. This week, another chance to hear Thomas Stanko and his New York Quartet. And on next week's jazz lineup, there will be the second installment of concert music from ECM recording artists Quercus, a trio featuring vocalist June Tabor, saxophonist Ian Ballamy, and pianist Hugh Warren, recorded at this year's Brecon Jazz Festival. To sign off with tonight, music from British uber jazz ensemble Empirical from the brand new album Tabula Rasa. Empirical play the Purcell Rooms on the 16th of October. This is The Prophet. From me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Empirical, ending this week's jazz lineup with The Prophet, and Julian Joseph will be back next Saturday at 6 o'clock.
Celebrating 20 years of the innovative Radio 3 programme Between the Ears, A specially created radio symphony broadcast in four imaginative movements over the four Saturdays of October. Shadow Play continues with the second movement, a man meditating in a busy city.
I'm trying to learn to meditate, but I'm distracted by the man sitting next to me.
Between the Ears.
And that's when I realized that I was sitting next to the famous actor, Harvey Keitel.
Tonight at 10:30 on BBC Radio 3.
And throughout the past week on BBC Radio 3, five radio producers from around the world played a week-long audio version of the game Consequences in a special series of programmes marking the 20th anniversary of Between the Ears. And you can catch up with the series on the iPlayer radio at bbc.co.uk/radio3. It's just gone 7:30, time now for Opera on Three. It's presented by Martin Handley.
Welcome to tonight's Opera on Three, part of our Verdi 200 celebrations, in which we're broadcasting every one of Verdi's operas in this 200th anniversary year of the great man's birth. This evening, we complete the extraordinary trio of operas Verdi composed within a couple of years in the early 1850s, Rigoletto, La Traviata and Il Trovatore, with the last of the three. They mark not only an important moment in Verdi's career, but also in the history of Italian opera, works that are among the earliest to have kept a place at the heart of the repertoire ever since they were written. For tonight's Trovatore performance, we head for the Bavarian State Opera at the Nationaltheater in Munich, and the wild new production by Olivier P, which opened this year's Munich Opera Festival. The cast was led by the tenor Jonas Kaufmann, making a much-awaited debut as Manrico, the soprano Anya Hateros as Leonora, mezzo Yelena Manistina as Azucena, baritone Alexei Markov as the Count di Luna, and bass Guangchul Yun as Ferrando. The conductor was Paolo Carignani. Verdi was composing Trovatore and Traviata at the same time. They seem to be opposites, though, in every way. Epic and intimate, public and private, conservative and radical, romantic and realist, maybe even masculine and feminine. Trovatore started out as a kind of sequel to Rigoletto, and it was during its first performances that Verdi had the idea of setting García Gutiérrez's romantic drama El Trovador. Just as Rigoletto keeps its grip on the audience with a very original main character, the hunchbacked jester whose love for his daughter is his redeeming feature, so in Il Trovatore it's the gypsy Azucena, whose love for her son Manrico makes her the first operatic gypsy to re-emerge from racial stereotypes. But Verdi has the two characters express themselves in very different ways. His writing for Rigoletto is far freer, so the character's sudden changes of mood and bursts of emotion can be easily expressed. Azucena may return obsessively to a particular musical theme, but otherwise she uses a far more straightforward musical language of duets and arias, as do the opera's other characters. In fact, what's true of Azucena is true of the opera as a whole. It's a real celebration of traditional Italian opera, symmetrically structured in four acts, each of two scenes, and each involving confrontations between the characters. The libretto by Salvatore Camerano contains rigid character types and pretty unrealistic stage action, but that perhaps allows Verdi to complement the immediacy of the language with huge musical and emotional energy. The traditional structure defines the stages of the story and the confrontations which mark the inexorable progress of the drama. Il Trovatore needs four, if not five, fine voices, voices of a type maybe not so common now, which have both power and flexibility to ride an often heavy orchestra and to cope with all the vocal intricacies. Because of that, Il Trovatore is probably the least performed of that incredible triumvirate of operas at the moment. But the Munich cast have all the required characteristics. In a production that one review said was a non-stop barrage of nightmarish images mixing styles and periods that assault the audience at lightning speed on a multi-tiered revolving set. Well, you can see pictures of it on the Radio 3 website. The